Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about finding your juice, your jizz, your, you know, who you are.
I've never heard of that.
Is that a new word? Let's not worry about new words. Let's get down to business here, ministry business.
Okay, so here we're going to talk about your voice, your passion, your purpose, and your audience.
In a lot of ways, this is your calling.
Right.
Your ministry calling.
And we're talking about this because we're talking about ministry biz, how you might combine business and ministry. But how do you even begin to start thinking about what in the world you would even do or what you would even try? And so we're going to spend this session talking about who you are. And trying to figure that out.
So this is sort of like developing the curious doing route.
Right.
So like, what do I do? How do I make an impact?
Yeah, and if you can figure out how you're wired, how God made you to be, and you kind of go in that direction, then it's going to be way more fulfilling than just trying something because you heard about it and maybe it doesn't fit you.
Right. So really that spiritual calling you have, that spiritual dream that brought you to Christian Leaders Institute, is now we are going to put that in focus a little bit.
Right. Okay. So we're first going to talk about your voice. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's handiwork. I think the literal translation is we are God's piece of art.
Wow, God's artistry.
Right, that each one of us is unique. We've been created uniquely with unique gifts, and that God has a special purpose. God has already figured out the good things that He wants us to do in the future.
Right. You know, that's the thing that I see when I read your stories. Sometimes I read your stories and I'm like, wow, look at the set of gifts that person has been given by God. I would not even have imagined. We have a person who owns a dance studio in California, and we feature this person in the Getting Started class, and they had a video that I slipped in there because it was so interesting to see and how he wants to give all glory and honor to God. But that set of gifts, and he has a ministry biz going over there.
Okay. So who has God made you to be? First of all, I think a lot of times people will discount who they are.
Right.
I don't have any gifts. I'm not very good at anything. People tend to look at other people that are way more successful.
Compare themselves. Yeah.
And they start thinking, well, who am I?
Right.
And but if you think about God creating the whole world, and God could see what was going to happen. He looked at the whole world that would one day be. And he looked at every individual that would be into this world. And he saw you. And he said, I'm going to create the world where you exist. He could have created the world just as it is without you.
Right.
But he looked at those two worlds and said, no, I want you there. So why does God want you there?
Right.
I mean, if God put you on this planet, what does he want you to do? So even though you may disqualify yourself, you know, I haven't been able, you know, my life has been a disaster. I've made a lot of bad decisions. Well, you made a good one by coming here.
Right.
You're studying. You're trying to improve yourself. You're trying to learn things because you have a dream that God has put in you. You are God's handiwork.
Right.
And He has your future planned. So, what is it?
Did you hear that? You are God's handiwork.
Right? Now, sometimes, you know, art is hard to understand.
Yeah.
And maybe you
are hard to understand.
Yeah, maybe you haven't figured out who you are yet. But I guess starting with the belief that God has created you for a special purpose.
Right.
If you have that sense. I remember the first time I flew in a plane. It was 1975. I signed up for a mission trip to Ogden, Utah, to work among the Mormons. And, you know, I was a young kid. It was the first time I got on the plane. And it was Friday the 13th, which, is, you know, in some circles is a negative.
Stop right there. I have never heard this story.
So I got on the plane, and I was sitting between two ladies. I was in the middle seat. And before we took off, the one lit up a cigarette. This is where you could smoke on a plane back then.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I barely remember
and the,
that.
And the other one started reciting her rosary beads.
Oh, no.
And then we took off, and I looked at both of them, and I said, did it work? Did the cigarette work? Did the rosary bead work? But I remember thinking, this is the first time I flew, and it was Friday the 13th. I remember thinking, you know, planes crash and all those things. But I thought, but I know this plane is not going to crash. And I know it because God has a purpose for my life, and I have not yet fulfilled it. I was 18 years old, and I thought, I know God has something in mind. And, you know, when I was dating a girl and she dumped me, all the negative things that happened in my life, I thought, okay, what is God going to do with this? What
right.
is God
so in other words, with there's this? Purpose around the next corner, yes. no matter what failure you
right.
just walked through.
And I don't know what it is. I just went out and boldly did whatever I was, what was in front of me. But no matter what happened, I had that sense that somehow God has a plan, and He's using every little thing that happens to me to make it happen.
Well, maybe it was, if the plane did go down, if the two ladies next to you had to bring to the Lord real quick before
yeah.
the end.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
But it is true. We get the days we get.
Yes.
And when those days are complete, and the purpose for our life is complete,
right.
that's it.
Right. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. This whole chapter is about spiritual gifts.
Right.
How every single person, which means you, is given a gift, or maybe more than one gift, by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of building up the church, for the purpose of ministry.
Right.
And that means you. You have gifts that the Holy Spirit... Now, you know, if I were to give you a gift, Henry, before you get the gift that I give you, do you have it?
No.
No. So I give you the gift, and you open it up, and all of a sudden you take this thing out. Now you have something, but before I gave it, you didn't have it.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. So a lot of you say, you know, well, I'm not a good speaker.
Right.
I'm not good with people. I'm not outgoing. I'm not very smart. I'm not, and you list out all the things that you're not. And you have experience to back it up.
Right.
You did this and it didn't work out. And you failed and you tried this. Okay. Now, when the Holy Spirit gives a gift, He gives a gift. And maybe He didn't give you the gift of speaking before, but maybe He's going to give it to you now. You don't have a gift until you get the gift.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit can give you the gift whenever He wants to. So it doesn't matter what your past experience has been. If you have to keep trying, keep experimenting, keep doing things, curious doing, because you have no idea what the Holy Spirit's plan is with you.
Right. In some ways, God has a ministry biz and you are a part of it.
Right. So the sense that you are a special, unique creation of God, that is the rock bottom, that's where you start
right.
as you go into whatever curious doing that you end up doing.
That's beautiful.
All right. So let's talk about your passion. Philippians 3, Henry, why don't you read that for us?
Okay, I will. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Okay. So straining towards something, pressing towards something, towards a goal to win, a prize, being called to something. We're talking about your passion.
Yeah.
What passion do you have? What drives you, Henry? I mean, what's your there's something inside of you that I mean, we got up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do this. We had one cup of coffee, and here we are.
Boom! Get right into it.
Right. So last night we were trying to make one of the videos, and we had technical problems.
Oh, it was bridge warfare.
We finally did it really well, and we forgot to turn the fan off, so that noise was there. Yeah.
And after that, the sound system burped somehow. I don't know. Yeah, and then I went to bed, and all I could think about is getting up so that we get going. We said we were going to start at 8, but I couldn't. I'm 5:30, I'm up, so I thought, let's keep going.
Right. So what? So why is that? What is driving you, you think? What is this passion?
If it's all true that the dead are raised and that Jesus is Lord and Savior and heaven is real, and I believe that with all my heart, I want to get there. I'm glad to get there by the grace of God, and I want to take as many people with me as possible, and I want to help others take as many people with them as possible that they can take, and that's what Christian Leaders Institute is all about.
Okay, so where do you think, I mean, not everyone has that same passion. Where do you think that came from?
God. My wife just got me a plaque. And I actually cried when I saw it. It was a plaque deep within my calling. Before I formed you in the womb, in the womb, I knew you.
Right.
My grandma said that when I was 12, and has never left me.
Okay.
That I believe God has a plan for my life to be a prophet to the nations. And I remember thinking, "Ah, Sovereign Lord, I do not speak." That's I know the verse by heart.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my fire, it's my passion to reach the world for Jesus Christ.
Okay, so what's your passion? Are you in touch with your passion? Do you sometimes wake up in the middle of the night thinking about who God is and what God is calling you to do?
Right.
Why is it that, Henry, what do you think are some of the blocks to this passion thing? Because not everyone seems to be passionate about anything.
I think one block is our environment is we are just entertained into so many distractions that we often do not spiritually get quiet enough to hear the still small voice of God speaking. So one block is that it's a noisy world with fear and trepidation and worry. Everything is everywhere. That's a block.
So there's difficulties that people face, and then I think, you know, to offset those difficulties, there's all these distractions that you can do to not worry about these things, right? There's all these fears out there, and then instead of, like, attacking it,
right,
why not just sit back and watch a movie?
Right.
And then you can just forget about all your troubles.
Yeah, watch someone else's story. And watch somebody else's passion.
Right, right. Yeah, get a surrogate experience with sports or whatever it might be,
right,
where you can throw some passion into a thing that is like pretend.
Right.
To not think about the real thing. You know, your family's falling apart. Your marriage is falling apart. You hate your job. You want to be close to God, but you're distracted. You never read your Bible. You never pray. You're never part of that whole system. And then you wonder why, you know, God seems distant, and then you distract yourself again from all this downward spiral and the depression that you find yourself in. So how do you get out of this downward?
Well, you know, I still was thinking of a few more blocks, actually.
Okay.
I think there are pseudo-passions out there.
Okay.
You go to Facebook or multimedia and whatnot, or network media, and what you find is all of a sudden everybody's around this cause.
Right.
But it's not the core cause of your life.
Right.
But, you know, it's a cause you like. So you get distracted in this cause.
Right.
But it's not your voice. So what happens, you do a little bit to do it.
Yes.
And that sort of solves a little of your
right.
like desire.
Right.
But then a year goes by and you still leave your passion, right. your calling yeah. on the shelf.
Yes.
And 5 years goes by. Many people of you have written how your calling was here when you were like 14 yeah,
right.
or 18.
And
now they're 52.
Right.
And they go, I'm like Jonah.
Right.
And they go,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
But you know what? Whether you're like Jonah or not, you're here today.
Right. So get in touch again with your passion. God has called right. you for a purpose.
Right.
And spending a whole lifetime trying to figure that out, like you're taking classes, that's one good way to figure out, you know, what things touch you, what things spark an interest, what things get you motivated. You watch a video, and you do the work, and you're like excited. You can't wait to get to the next one.
Right.
That might be an indication of the direction that maybe God is calling you to.
You know, I think too, for some people, it's where they are in their life right now. Like, I've seen a lot of you who come to, quote, retirement age, and you are as passionate now than ever before about your future in ministry.
Right.
So, you know, some of the blocks could be you're in a situation, you can't get out of the situation,
yep.
but now for the first time, you're out of that
right.
thing that held you back,
right.
and now you're all in,
right.
and you're going to fight, strain
yes.
for what's ahead,
yes.
and get yep. the prize.
Right. So we're talking about, you know, maybe starting a ministry biz, and unless you have the press-on attitude.
Right.
It just won't happen. I mean, we had that with church planting.
Oh, yeah.
Things are always harder than you think,
right.
and there'll be obstacles that come in your way. And so that, you know, Paul had this, I'm going to press on. I failed in the past. It didn't always work out, but I'm forgetting the past, and I'm straining towards what I'm going after. I'm after the prize. I'm after the goal, and it's going to take some pressing on to get there.
No, I have a story I don't think you've heard. So, planting a church in Eugene, Oregon, there a realtor who was just saved. So, amazing story in my church that I planted with Dave Heisinger in Colorado Springs. So now I'm called to go plant a church in Oregon, and he picks up and moves.
Mm.
Okay, so he's...
To help.
To help. I like, and he's like the number one realtor in the state of Colorado. Okay. So, he moves over there, and I'm thinking, Gary, what, you know, and right away he gets connected with a RE/MAX firm, and he, Jan Solomon, Patty Tubbs, right down the line. You remember Patty?
Yeah.
What a great girl, and Jan, all of them. And one by one, he's sharing Christ.
Right.
This was when we were in our early days, so I remember helping Patty read the Bible,
right,
and she
right.
became a believer.
Right,
and,
right.
And I would still see her occasionally on Facebook, and she's
right.
walking with the
right.
Lord.
Right.
This is years, 30, 25
right.
years ago.
Yeah.
But so there was this moment when we're Gary Jacobson says, well, what do we do to plant the new church? And I said, well, what would you do? Well, I just start knocking on doors. Now, I knocked on a lot of doors in my first churches, and I couldn't believe it. Here's a guy with such a fire
right.
to share Christ.
Right.
So we went on the street in Eugene, Oregon. I went on one side, he went on the other side. And while he was on the other side, knocking on door, and one failure after another, because he has no ministry training, he didn't have anything at Christian Leaders Institute that you are having.
Right.
But even despite that, he knocked on the door, and a woman named Zoe, means life, knocks on the door, and this gal was seriously depressed and all of that. And then Gary waved at me, and I walked over there, and we led her to the Lord. But his fire and passion was so clear.
Right.
So that's you.
Right.
What is it that you
right.
believe to your core of your
right.
being?
Yeah. So yeah, if you don't have that, then the first bump in the road, you just stop.
Right.
And so many people do that. So getting in touch, asking God to give you that press on mentality.
Yeah.
All right. So your passion, your purpose.
Okay.
This, by the way, is my favorite verse.
This is your favorite verse. We'll come back to it. Really, why?
Well, let me read it. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed.
This is my theory. You have a theory on this, don't you? Okay. So I have finally connected the dots here after all these years. I've known that that's his favorite verse. He said that. I've been in public places where he spoke it and said, this is my favorite verse. And in my mind, I said to myself, why is that his favorite verse? I mean, and I think it's that airplane story he told about earlier. He's on a plane, it's 1975, and planes go down back then.
Yes.
And it's like, well, you remember that. Some of you are our age, you know that. And he's between a smoker, and he's between someone who's just like, you know, spiritually worried, and so forth. And I think something clicked on. I mean, you maybe didn't know it. That's my theory.
Okay.
Well,
this verse, you know, whenever I tell people this verse, they sort of hear the second half. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed.
Body decayed.
it doesn't sound like a real pick-me-up verse to start your day.
I can't think of how I could market that.
Right.
But undead.
But you have to read the last part in the context of the first part. And I love the first part. When David had served God's purpose. So what is God's purpose? And, you know, when you're done serving God's purpose, then it's time to go home.
Right.
I mean, in fact, you're not the plane is not going to go home or go down until God's purpose is fulfilled in your life.
It frees you up, doesn't it?
It totally frees you up because, you know, what do you have to worry about? Right. And you can boldly go out and do things. What is the worst that can happen to you? The worst thing that can happen to you is you could die. But if you die, that means God has already fulfilled his purpose in you.
Right.
So that's the worst.
Right. And that's not bad because the dead are raised.
Exactly. So so it gives you a lot of freedom to try anything and everything. The worst failure is really not even a failure. So I love this verse because, you know, what I tell people to do is, when you read it, just put your name in there instead of David's. So when Steve had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. So what is your purpose?
Right.
So as you're thinking about, you know, maybe a ministry biz, okay, how can I make a living and do ministry at the same time? It's really about your purpose.
Right.
What gifts and abilities has God given you? What people has God brought into your life? What training do you have? What training do you need? What gets you out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning because you're so excited to get to it? You know, as you evaluate your life, what are those things in your life that sort of, you know, get you going? And that might be your purpose.
Well,
we're not done, Henry.
There's more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oops. Your passion, your purpose, your audience.
Ah, one more is your audience.
Okay. Acts 13:36, where we heard that before. Go back. Okay. Didn't we just read this?
Yeah.
We did. But we didn't talk about the one part. Now, when David had served God's purpose, or when Henry had served God's purpose, or when Steve had served God's purpose, in his own generation, he fell asleep and was buried with his ancestors' body decayed. In his own generation.
Interesting.
So, David was a historical person doing the thing that he was called to do, fulfilling God's purpose in his generation.
Generation.
So, you and I are alive today. Right. And the people that are alive with us today are only going to be reached by the Christians who are alive today. We can't like say, well, eventually we'll get to this.
Right.
We are responsible for this generation. And God has specifically planned, orchestrated that we would be born into this generation. He orchestrated that you would be born into the family, into the situation, into the culture, whatever it is that you were raised with, because he specifically has something in mind for you to do with your specific world.
You know, it's like, this is so interesting. You know, as you're talking, my mind is just going off in different directions. So it's not just generation, it's the people group is your generation. You get real practical.
Yes, yes.
It's the people group. It's the people group you hang around with.
Right.
It's the people group with interests that you have. It's the people group that respect you.
Right.
It's the people group that you feel passionate about.
Right.
And it's okay to feel passionate about the people group that you feel passionate about.
Right.
You don't have to be on mission to another people group because they're different or not different from you.
Right. So, so in some ways, again, I said this before, but God is preparing you for his purpose in you. And he's been preparing you by all the experiences that you've had.
Right.
And you've had some really good positive experiences, and you've had some really negative experiences. But all those things, all those are preparing you to reach a certain kind of person. If you've been through a divorce, you know what that is like no others.
Right.
And so when you're meeting someone and you want to share Christ and they're going through that, you can speak to them in a way that I could never speak to them.
Right.
So nothing in your life is wasted.
No.
If you've had a horrific life and you look back and you go, oh, I wasted so much of my life. No.
That was preparation.
That was all
preparation. To reach people that have that situation.
Right. So it doesn't matter what your whole life has been. God has his eye on you before you were born.
Right.
He created those purposes and those things that he wants you to do, and he's been preparing you. And part of that preparation is Christian Leaders Institute and the classes that you're taking. This lecture right here is we're trying to inspire you to get in touch with who you are, what your gift is, what God is calling you to, and to whom God is calling you to. So getting in touch with all of those things is a helpful exercise in deciding what kind of ministry biz you want to try.
So I want to talk about one last little tangent, but I think it's practical. That's the tangent of, are you a mission person in your ministry and calling, or are you an indigenous minister connected to your calling?
Okay, so what do you mean by that?
Well, I feel like sometimes, and I've seen this, where someone feels the need to give money, they feel the need to give a little time, donate and volunteer for something. It's for those people in a different people group.
Okay.
But they're not tied into their own passion. And what happens then is, you know, if let's say I support a ministry and I don't like something the ministry is doing, I support this mission, I don't like that, I'm not going to give there, in fact, I'm not going to do this now. And it's like the mission identity is not really their calling and passion identity indigenously. Like you know, I've seen that with church planters sometimes, where they're not knocking on doors or talking to the people that they will actually influence and lead. They're somehow in their mind have a different person they're trying to get.
So in some ways, it's sometimes where people will come down to a soup kitchen to help the poor, but they don't really connect at all to the poor. They're just doing this thing. And I think of like the Apostle Paul. Okay, what did the Apostle Paul do? He was called to reach the Gentiles, right? But every time he went to a new city, where did he go?
Right.
He went to the synagogue.
Right.
Why? Because he was a Pharisee.
Yeah.
He was a follower of the law, and then Jesus saves him from being a follower of the law to being a follower of the Savior.
Right.
So, what was he saved from? He was saved from that following the law thing. So when he goes to a new city, the first place he goes are to people who need exactly what he needs.
And that's a hard sell for him, a hard connection.
He got beat up every time.
Yeah.
And then,
beaten.
You know, he finally says, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to the Gentiles. And he goes to the next city, and what does he do?
He goes right back
to the synagogue. So it's... You know, what you're saying is you know, you have a people group experience. You have experiences in your life that God is preparing you for a particular segment.
Right.
And a lot of times we go to a totally different segment just because we think that's what we should do. Right. That's what a mission would be, and we're totally not connected to that.
Yeah, it's for those people over there, but it's not for the people closest in your life. And the people in your family, in your life, in the synagogue, they're often very difficult to reach.
Yes.
But here's the payoff, the joy, the benefit.
Right.
When you can reach that group of people that know you well and you know them well, a synergism, a Holy Spirit synergism starts occurring. And, I remember in church planting, the kind of, I call it the first stage of church planting is often you reach the easiest possible people to reach.
Right, right.
So when you reach the easiest possible people to reach, these are people who are often very dependent.
Right.
They're not in your economic or your interest group.
Right.
You have them over for dinner because it's the program to have them over for dinner, but they will not invite you to their house.
Right.
You won't necessarily want to invite them again, and it becomes like a sort of, and that's the honest truth. Yeah. The elephant in the room here. I know you want to in the Lord, but it's a very difficult to reach and difficult to maintain.
Right.
But then you find someone in your group, and you take the bold, audacious, you do it. You share. They come to know the Lord, and now you're hanging out together, and you almost feel guilty because you're hanging out more with them than somebody else who's on the mission side, and then you gather them to join the mission for those people instead of saying, "Let's meet people, let's keep it going with people at our people group connection." Now again, people can get out of hand on that and make it so that they become a country club and forget the other people.
Right.
So I'm not saying all that.
No.
I'm just saying in general, you know, is your passion to reach in your generation, what does that mean?
Yes.
The people that are closest to you in your life.
Right. So as a church planner, of course, I felt like I have to, save everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I did. I would try to help this person, and I would get a bunch of dependents, and then I would burn out.
Right.
And so in the end, God has created you, with experiences, with certain gifts that are sort of focus towards a particular people group,
and as you
reach them, you'll get energy from it rather than be draining from it. So that's all we're trying to say is God, creates us uniquely. He gives us unique gifts. He gives us unique experiences for the purpose of reaching unique people.
Right.
So trying to, figure that out, and if you figure that out, then you're able to press on.
Yeah.
Right, because then when it's difficult, it's like, well, like Paul, he kept getting beat up, but he just kept doing it. He just kept going at his countrymen because he had a passion for them. He understood how lost they were. He understood how empty that kind of life was, and so his heart was breaking for those people.
Right. Well, I think this is enough for today. This is a really good session, so praise God. Let's close in prayer. Lord, this is very personal to get into the passion, the gift, the unique, deep into the soul. It's something at dream level, at calling level. And Lord, I pray for everybody here today that your Holy Spirit will give them insight and give them for that passion, for the ministry, to reach more people and to glorify you in the process. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.